Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Robert Thibodeau, I want to welcome you to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today, as we are going to jump into part two of an awesome three-part interview with our good friend, Tom Donnan. Tom is an evangelist, author, speaker, and he's very tuned in to things happening all around us, but he brings the spiritual perspective on these things. These are events you see every night on the news, but Tom is bringing to light the motives and methods behind them spiritually. We're going to pick up today's portion of the interview discussing the increase in sunspot activity, how that affects technology, national defense, and also the recent oil pipeline that was hacked, causing severe gasoline outages across the South and Northeast Atlantic areas. But stay tuned until the end, because we're going to enter an area of discussion that, for the most part, we have not discussed publicly before, and that is the approaching U.S. government preparing to discuss publicly for the first time ever the official government disclosures of what they know about ETs and UFOs. Tom shares some spiritual insights into this area as well, so stay tuned to the end of today's episode. Amen? Now, let's jump back into this interview with Tom Donnan as he shares how the gas shortages affected him when he was on vacation and how God used this to send a message to him. Here is Tom Donnan.
As always, when we're going through these conversations, we end up talking about space in some form or fashion, you know, asteroids, comets, but today the big news is sunspots. I mean, could these sunspots also be causing the drought conditions that we're seeing? And I mean, sunspots cause a lot of damage to a lot of electronic devices, satellites and all that, that we've come to rely on. You know, like I have satellite television, and if a storm comes through, we don't have television until the storm is done.
Yeah.
And
okay.
So how does the sunspots and all that work into this?
Well, the video that I was watching, of course, it was an amateur guy that was reporting on this. And so he kind of had his input into it. But the numbers don't lie. And the numbers are is how they were scaling the flares. You know, they have their ratings, A, B, C. I don't know if there is a D, but then they go to M and then they go to X, right? So M is, we've had a couple of M flares, which the sun has been like in, you know, quiet for some time now. No, you haven't heard any news. Of course, just a few years ago, we're having X class, and that was pretty scary because it does, you know, being an electrical person, you know, with working on elevators and stuff like that, you have what's called flux and induction. You see, like if you have a motor and there's no power applied, well, it's still. But when you apply the alternating current, what happens is that it excites the stator, right? And it's moving back and forth, and this causes current, right? So when these X flares are coming through, they're hitting our infrastructure for the power, and that is inducting an overload. And that overload can short out the circuitry. And so this is a thing that they are very concerned with, because we've had it happen before, where it affected the power grid. And so they're very concerned about it. But this was an M class. It still could do damage. But it's like, okay, where did this come from? Because we weren't kind of expecting this kind of sun activity. And that was a very strong concern.
Mm, yeah, amen. I know, you know, like I'm involved with a organization called EMP Shield that protects from lightning strikes and things like that, that you know, the problem with, you know, because I am with my ministry, we are highly reliant on technology. If the power goes out, we are in trouble, right? But more than that, if a lightning strike happened, and you know, it could fry our computers, you know, everything we're doing, and you know, so there, I had to have protection for all this stuff. This company called EMP Shield, they make a protector that hooks up to the house. You put it actually between the meter in your house and the fuse box in the house, I think it is. And it's so quick to react. It's like, you know, 1/1,000,000th of a second or something like that. This thing can detect the surge, and it just turns everything off without having that surge come through your house and burning up your technology. the thing about it, it is so reliable, been proven over and over and over. The U.S. government is buying these things up to protect their infrastructure, you know, the national infrastructure for, you know, communications and stuff like that for military and Department of Defense. Their Department of Defense is like one of their biggest contractors. They've did a contract with these groups. But the point I'm trying to make is, we are technology is so ingrained in our society in ways that most people don't even realize, to tell the truth.
Yeah. I mean,
if sunspots can disrupt satellite communication, that puts national defense at a high threat of having issues, not to mention, you know, retail, commerce, banks, your computer system. You know, there's even issues that, like that, that, you know, obviously when security drops because everyone's focused on keeping the ship running, right? That allows hackers to dive in and take over a little bit. Kind of like what happened recently with that oil pipeline. You know, that was a major carrier of fuel from the Texas area to the Atlantic coast region. You know, long gas lines. I have seen gas lines like that since the 70s, you know, gas outages. I mean, that was normal here for a few weeks. And although this was the fault of hackers, it just shows how much we become accustomed to these conveniences and don't really take into consideration how all this stuff, it works together. It's interactive at all times, you know?
Yeah.
Have you seen anything like that?
Well, that one hit me personally. Oh, that was a shock.
Okay. Oh, really?
So, when my, coming down here from my friend's condo, right? So I leave home and I drive to Byron, Georgia to stay overnight. Right. So I got northeast of Atlanta. And I thought, you know, normally I get to a quarter of a tank and I start looking for a gas station, right? But I decided to do it a little early. So here I am about 40 miles outside of Atlanta, and I pull in to a gas station, and there's nobody there. And then I see the bags on the pump handles, right? Mm-hmm. So then I thought, oh, shoot. Okay, so I thought it was isolated. And I go across the street, same thing. Now I go back out onto the street, and I go to the third station. They don't have no gas. Now I'm thinking, what is going on? And then it clicks in to me, didn't I hear about this pipeline, right? It never occurred to me that as I'm driving south, I am driving into the area by which that is being affected. And I take for granted the fact that there's gas everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And now, am I going to have to call and find a new hotel because I won't have enough gas to get down to where I wanted, right? This is running through my mind, all right? And so I get back on the expressway. I go to the next exit, and I pull into a gas station. And what happens is that I am backing up to the pump because there's only one pump open, and it's on the wrong side of my car. So I turn around, I'm backing in. And there is a guy that's standing there, and they come out, and they just put the bag on his pump. It was the last one. They had just run out of gas. That's the fourth station, right? Wow. So now here's a new topic, right? And that is the quickening of the Holy Spirit. When a coincidence happens, is it a coincidence, right? Mm. Or is it a message, right? So backing up, the day that I was going to leave to come down here, the night before, I'm going to fill up with gas, right? Because I want to jump in the car, and I'm conquer orientated when I get in the car, right? So I filled up with gas, and as I pulled in, there's a tanker truck downloading gas into this gas station. And then a little voice in my head says, is it good to buy gas now when they're dumping gas? Because there is this point of view. I know people who have done that and got a couple miles in their car cuts out because the filter is plugged, right? Because it stirs up all the sentiment. And I hear this in my mind. It says, is this a good time for you to be buying gas? But I'm on fumes. I need gas, right? I shouldn't have done it this way, right? So I pull in, and I get out there, and there's a man in between me and the truck. And he looks at me, and he says, you know, is this a good time for me to be buying gas? Because I've heard that you could get a clogged filter. And he says, but yet here I am, right? Is it a coincidence? Or is it a message, right? Amen. So I put in a gallon, and then I drove down to the next gas station, and I got gas, okay? So as I'm coming down here, because God always has some kind of assignment for me to do wherever I go, right? And I'm thinking, and I had a third thing happen as I'm coming down here, and I'm thinking, okay, is it a coincidence or is this a message? Because it seemed as though God is tuning me in. Because this guy said, he said they got gas, they just delivered 30,000 gallons at $2.93. I'm a duck out of water here. You're going to have to explain $2.93 to me because I don't know. Is it Route 293? Is it State 293? I don't know. It was Exit 293 on I-75. Okay, it's back in the direction that I came from. Now, that's not normally what you do, but is it a message? So I got back on the expressway going in the opposite direction, and I go to the next exit. My rationale is I'm going to hit them all to 293, right? And I'm just going to keep on going. So I get to the next one, and I pull into the gas station, and they only have premium left. Well, my car was happy for a full tank of gas because I was running on premium. You know, got a little bit better gas mileage, but it cost me more money in the long run, right? So it's that quickening of the Holy Spirit, no? And so I think God speaks to us in the day more than we realize. And so I was tuning in to him speaking to me through these unsuspecting people. So that I could avoid a problem. And I did make it to Byron. And when I got there, a friend of mine had said, Tom, when you get there, if they got gas, top off your tank and you'll be able to get into Florida where there's no problem. Right. And so I did that. And there were some other tanks were already empty in this particular gas station, but I had enough to be able to go on. And you get into Florida and then it was panic buying. Right.
Oh, yeah.
So that interrupted a whole bunch of stuff. But you see, it became personal for me. I was wondering, am I going to make it to my destination? Now, here's the other part that was fascinating. All right, so it's late. I'm on the road, and it's one of these AF truck stops, I think it was, right? They hold hundreds of trucks, right? It's packed out. The exit ramp going up there and down to the expressway on both sides is lined with trucks. Because they don't have any diesel to go anywhere. They're waiting for the diesel to be able to come in and fill up their tanks. And the next morning was Wednesday morning. I think it was Wednesday or Thursday morning. Okay, it was like a Sunday morning. The traffic was extremely light for this time of the day or this day of the week until I got to Florida. And then everything picked back up to normal. And this is what happened. It affected me personal. It was affecting all of those people in the States. It was personal. It shook so many people because our lives were disrupted. And I thought, okay, this is another one of those events because we just talked about the agricultural dryness. It's affecting them, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when there's no corn, prices are going to go up and we're already seeing inflation over 10%. Nope. And that's only going to escalate it more. You're going to like this, okay? So you talk about the inflation thing. I was talking with my friend Marlene, and we're saying about how you go into the store and you buy a box of crackers, all right, and you're putting it into the cart, and there's motion inside, right? Okay, so she's saying, yeah, there's a gap. There's a gap in there. So I bought some graham crackers. Graham crackers. And I opened up the box. There was an inch and a half gap. It was the same size box, but it had an inch and a half less product because they kept it the same price. That's inflation.
Yep, that's right. That's right. If they can cut 1 ounce out of the package, they save, 25 cents. But you're producing a million boxes, that's serious money.
Yes. And that's how it's being passed on. So with the corn stuff, it's going to start showing up. What is it? 3 months, 6 months, 9 months? It's going to start showing up big time.
Yeah, amen. And you were on vacation and all this happened.
Well, I'll tell you, here's the thing that's kind of like fun.
Isn't supposed to be relaxing?
Well, it wasn't on the way down, I'll tell you that. You know, it was kind of like pins and needles. But here was the thing, like Paul had a dream saying, come to Macedonia. And God provided everything necessary for him to make it there. And so I know that I'm on assignment down here. I have a church that is having some spiritual troubles. And that's the way to go, or to help me to intercede for churches in that situation so they can have alignment, full alignment. And so I knew he's going to get me down here.
Yeah.
No, amen. It's just might be as comfortable as I was hoping it to be.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, you should ask, if you can just transport Philip
I know. I thought about that.
I mean, Jesus says, what, John 14, 13, 14, whatever you ask the Father before in my name, he'll give you. Yeah. Lord, this would be the time for that transporter.
Me and my car.
Yeah, there you go.
Both of us.
Yeah. With our infrastructure falling apart, what else could go wrong? I mean, it won't be long. We talk about the truck drivers. The truck drivers aren't going to deliver their cargo. I mean, look at it like this. Drought means no crops. No crops means we don't eat. Higher prices across the board there. Increase in sunspots causes havoc, shutting down satellites and electronics. This opens the doors to the hackers. More efforts being put on the infrastructure just to keep things moving. But it also means in some instances, small details are overlooked because everyone is stressed about what else is going on. And that causes even bigger problems for everyone. I mean, look what happened to that bridge over the Mississippi River, that major highway. Yeah. Did you see that?
Yeah, that was okay. So it's a major artery, right?
Yeah.
It's a major artery. Then the bridge, I checked yesterday and it's still shut down. Right. Oh, wow. And so what they're trying to get the fix going. And the thing is that, okay, all the inconvenience associated with that bridge being down is affecting, if not tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, because now they have to reroute. They have to reroute, right?
They do surveys, 10,000 trucks a day or whatever crosses this bridge.
Wow.
I mean that, our vehicles, not just trucks, but 10,000, could be more. Like the Bay Bridge here, they estimate the average day is like 25,000 cars go across this bridge.
And that's amazing.
When it shuts down, that's a major dent in people's schedule.
Yeah. Well, another unseen effect was that they didn't want barges going underneath there in case that there was a collapse.
Yeah.
And a good number, like let's say 70% of those barges carried corn.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
There you go.
Okay. So for a week, the barges were stacking up. There was over 700 barges that were waiting to move back and forth. Right? And so that is another delay. You see how these things are starting to pile up?
Yeah. And we talked last time about the delay at the ports because of COVID, remember? They had all these ships out there that dock waiting for their turn to come in because they can only let in so many at a time.
Exactly. Yeah.
Amen. So it's not just the ports. Now we're talking the middle of the country, the Mississippi River,
Yeah.
I mean, and Texas, the pipeline, and impacting all the way up to Maine, all these things are all, what do we call it? The convergence all at one time, I reference, maybe you could have prayed, have God transport you like he did Philip, but I think it's about time that we pull out our communicator and actually say, hey, Scotty, time to beam me up. Get me out of this place. what else could go wrong that indicates the soon return of Jesus must be, this close? I mean, wait. You're really saying, though, two things here, right? That if I get this right, there's an we just joked about that, but did you see the recent release that there's been an increase in UFO sightings that are impacting our military preparedness level as well? I mean, even the military is coming out with this stuff now.
Yeah. That's kind of like a fringe group when you start talking about that. Yeah. People like to know the unknown, right? Yeah. Okay, so there's been a long stigmatism to it. And people who have that kind of interest, it's one thing. And I have shied away from it because I didn't really have a biblical point of view. And what I did believe really didn't fit in with the narrative of the people who watch these type of things. So I haven't jumped into it until I saw that YouTube from Pastor John Kilpatrick. Now, as far as the Assembly of God goes, he is one of the well-renowned pastors because he hosted Brownsville Revival for more than a decade. Amen. And the reason that I like him is that because of that, he has an extensive education on how the spiritual realm works through the experiences that he had during those times. And so whenever he talks, he is like the old commercial. Well, everybody stops to listen when E.F. Hutton speaks, right? Everybody listens, okay? Well, this man, he's got life coming out of him, and he has knowledge of things that most people can't grasp. So he's a very interesting guy. So when he came up with the subject of UFOs, I really started paying attention. So it was about 50 minutes, I think, and he had a pretty interesting twist on it. But you were talking about how even now with the military, You know, the Navy and in a commercial airliners have been talking about their frequent experiences with these unknown crafts that don't operate on our laws of physics.
Right.
This is what that's got them scratching their heads.
Yep. Amen. Amen. And again, the reason I brought this up is because it's affecting the national defense. Our national defense. You know, there's two possibilities here. One, it's a foreign nation, Russia, China, whatever, that has technology we don't. Or two, if it is ET, right? You know, that opens up a whole new spectrum of, you know, what do we do now type thing. I mean, when you start talking, you know, our national defense system can be shut down by this stuff, that's a big deal.
It is. You know, the YouTube that I referenced in there, I think it was like 6 years old, right? But it was very pertinent that 6 years ago, they had an unidentified craft stop over a missile silo. And, you know, those things are deep underground. So they had a sentry up on the ground, and he calls down into it, according to the video, and he says, hey, I got something hovering above the missile silo. And they start scampering, and the next thing you know, 10 missiles go offline. And they haven't had this happen before. Now they're trying to figure out what in the world is going on and how do we combat it, and they still don't have an answer. They don't have an answer of how this is turning off our worldly technology by stuff we don't even comprehend. And then they try to chase it with a fighter jet, right? You can see it on their scope as they're moving, they're following this thing, and it allows them to follow it for such a, you know, a distance, and then poof, it's gone. I mean, it just takes off at a speed that is beyond human body capabilities.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. You know, you talk about Pastor Kilpatrick and stuff. It, you know, his view. I've been reading some books by Thomas Horn on the subject as well. He's got it very detailed. I know Tom Horn is coming at it from the perspective that, you know, these are demonic beings, because the whole purpose is to get you to doubt. You know, whether or not the Bible is really true, the creation account's really true, you know, because it seems like the camps are, you know, these are the people who, these alien beings are the ones who actually created man. We're here for, you know, we are here because of what they did, you know, thousands of years ago and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can throw that Bible stuff away. You know, again, that's, you know, a satanic aspect of it. You know, they come to tell you that, you know, we're your friends, you know, we're your brothers, and, you know, God, your God isn't the one who created you, we created you, and people are accepting that.
Hey folks, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's portion of this interview, and right when we are getting to the part of the government disclosure of UFOs and ETs and the spiritual perspective this could have on faith and how Christianity will continue to be attacked. Amen. All I can tell you is, you do not want to miss the next episode. Tom and I go into a deep, deep discussion of the spiritual impact this could have on society, the persecution of Christians, and whether or not ET is a demon or our God, as some claim they would be. Be sure you come back for tomorrow's episode, as this is going to be a deep discussion on something that we have not gone into publicly before. Amen? And don't forget to drop down to the show notes. Reach out to Tom. Order his books as well. All right, folks, till next time, this is Pastor Bob reminding you again, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.